listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. And we don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands in the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
This week on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we continue listening to Pastor Justin Johnson as he teaches a series of lessons from the book of 1 Timothy. You can listen to these lessons in their entirety by visiting the verse by verse section at graceambassadors.com. Let's listen now to the third installment of this rightly divided verse-by-verse study in 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy 1:6. My plan was to do 5 verses. I probably won't do that. There's so much good stuff here to talk about, and it's such important doctrine. So we'll start in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 4. Paul says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." So the distinctions between, as we covered last week, the fables and genealogies, which are common, apparently, being taught by people in the church. We covered all those fables and genealogies last week. And the instruction is, don't give heed to them. Don't give attention to them. Don't let them have attention. So specifically to Timothy, the leader of the church, he tells them to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So there are people in the church teaching fables and genealogies, and he says, don't let them have attention. Don't give them attention. Don't give heed to that. And later, he'll even say to some people, avoid them, this sort of thing. He's trying to tell Timothy how to operate an assembly, how to operate a church. Okay, and so don't give heed to fables. So when someone comes to you and says, I saw an angel last night, the Lord spoke to me, that guy needs to, if he's teaching, maybe he needs to sit down and learn something, because that's a fable. That's not sound grace doctrine, right? So people who are new to doctrine, who are influenced by the culture, you expect that, not from teachers. So he says, don't give heed to fables, those who consider their genealogy as worthy of attention. You know, I come from this or that tribe of Israel, or have you heard about British Israelism? Don't give heed to that. You know, the true Jews and this sort of thing. That should not be have a place in a grace assembly. Rather, godly edifying should have the place. And in verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. You know, we ought to be teaching integrity. Something you do not pretend, you don't put on a show. It's faith unfeigned, you see. That's the end of the commandment, and that's the end of the commandment of grace. And so when you don't edify with grace doctrine, when you don't keep that doctrine pure, in verse 6 it says, some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And so there are these people turning aside from this commandment that the Lord gave to Paul, that Paul's giving to Timothy to teach no other doctrine but grace doctrine, the gospel of the grace of God, and they're turning away from that. Now, when people turn away from Paul, typically it's to sin or it's to the law, one of those two places. But here, we're talking about people in the church who are teaching So these aren't people turning towards sin. They're teachers, right? They're the ones that are supposed to be the better people, supposedly. And we all know that's a wrong teaching. But so they're inevitably going to turn to the law. If you have people who are biblically minded, like teachers try to be from time to time, and you turn from Paul, it's going to be to the left in the Old Testament or to the right in the New Testament. Anywhere you go from Paul, it's going to be under the law. And that's what Paul says here for him to avoid. Okay, don't give heed, don't give attention, don't give place. Charge them not to do that. And he's going to explain why this is a problem. He even calls their teaching here vain jangling, is what he calls those who desire to teach the law, which is fascinating. Okay, because how many Christians think the law is the solution and how we need the Ten Commandments in front of our courthouse and we need more people to understand the law of God? You know, well, do you understand what you're saying? I don't think they do. A lot of Christians get on board with these sorts of trends of righteousness, righteous shows, you know, not knowing what they're doing. You can put the Ten Commandments in every house, home, and church building and government building in the country, and no one will understand the gospel of the grace of God, right? So what have you accomplished with that? Now they've learned to honor their father and mother. They've learned not to steal. They've learned not to kill. And they can go to hell because they're not trusting Jesus Christ died for their sins. But, I mean, is it good to have the law in your Bible? Yes. But is that the message the church should be pushing? No. That's not the doctrine. So when Paul says teach no other doctrine, there's a reason for it. Grace doctrine is the answer to sin. Grace doctrine, as we'll learn on our Sunday lessons in the next few weeks, is the solution to our nation's problems, to the world's problems. And this is where the leaders of the church have to have this this persuasion, this conviction, that grace doctrine has that power. Because it's very easy to take a little bit of grace and then just fall right back into the law teaching. You know. And if you don't have a teacher, don't have Timothy, don't have these other teachers that are persuaded by the truth of it and understand it, the church is going to fall into law teaching as well. It's going to destroy the foundation. So these teachers are swerving aside, turning aside unto vain jangling. Now, this is interesting, this phrase vain jangling. Jangling there has to do with the arguments and the conversation, the talk. You know, they're wrestling and jangling, and it kind of has a sound to it, you know. And he calls it vanity. Turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 47. This is smack dab in the middle of the law back here, first five books of the Bible. Now, I always make this cross-reference, and you may write it in your Bible here because it's a good one to make. Because what Paul calls vain in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Deuteronomy 32 says it's not vain. Okay, Deuteronomy 32, verse 47, here's Moses saying, actually, let's go back to verse 46. He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of this law. So, this is law teaching. When Paul says law teaching and desiring to be teachers of the law, he's not talking about, you know, some law that's outside the Bible. He's talking about the law of God's word, the law of God. And this is Deuteronomy 32, the law of God. Now in verse 47, Moses says, it is not a vain thing for you because it is your life. Wow. Law is life. That is the Jewish t-shirt, you know, or robe. The law is life. And through this thing, ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So that verse should, in your mind, be cross-referenced to 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 6, because what Moses calls your life, Paul calls vanity, you see. And so something has happened here, a doctrinal shift. Because if we're going to take every verse of the Bible and we think it all says the same thing, there's a contradiction. There's a dispensational distinctive. Is the law our life, and it should be something that we put on our doorpost, like the law said for Jews to do? It should be something we post everywhere and teach the law to the world, as Matthew 28 in the Great Commission said to do. Go and teach all men, baptizing them, teaching them the law, the commandments. Should we do that? Or ought we teach people the gospel, the grace of God? Okay. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says that you should go and do and teach the law, Matthew 5, verse 19. He did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And he came to teach and told others to do and teach the law. Wow. You stop and think about that for a moment. That has ramifications. Because Jesus is teaching what Moses said in Deuteronomy 32. The law is life. Okay? And if you don't do it, he says elsewhere in his teachings that you don't get life. You get everlasting condemnation and judgment. Paul, however, says If you desire to be a teacher of the law, it's vain jangling. And he exhorts Timothy to charge them not to do that, not to teach the law, teach no other doctrine than the gospel that was committed to my trust. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. The gospel of the blessed God was committed to my trust. Paul's gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, that's the one they're supposed to teach. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, look what Paul says here. Paul says, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, that must be like, I don't know, going to Marilyn Manson concert or something. I don't know what that is. Well, down in verse 3, it describes for you what it is, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Meat abstinence? This doesn't sound so horrible. That's the doctrine of devils? Not to eat meats? Yes, because the devil is involved not in the sins of the flesh, but rather in corrupting doctrine. And the devil would hide the preaching of the cross from people today. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. The devil would get in your way of understanding the hope of glory in you, Christ in you, grace working in you. And how better to do that than to convince you that the law of God is what you need to live by, not God's grace. That's how the devil operates. And so in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 3, it says here the doctrines of devils is the same thing that God taught Israel in Leviticus. He told Israel, don't eat that meat. Don't eat this meat. Eat that one, don't eat that one. And Paul says, you teach that today, you're teaching the devil's doctrine. Apparently, Paul understands that God has changed his instructions. What God says to one person at one time is wrong to say to another person at another time. You have to rightly divide. You have to be dispensational. And so this is what Paul says to Timothy. Again, we're in chapter 1 still, the first 6 verses. I know it's been 5 weeks, but remember the context. This is the first thing Paul tells Timothy. The first thing he tells him, teach no other doctrine, understand what God's doing today, teach grace doctrine, not law, don't give heed to fables and experiences and genealogies and this sort of thing. Right? It's dispensational understanding. This is what the leadership, the foundation of the church needs to be built on. But how often do we hear that in churches? They depart from doctrine at all. They go to the experience, they tell the stories, they go to the genealogy, the heritage. There have been Baptist churches ever since the first century, they say. You know, who cares? Genealogies, right? It's about right doctrine. But that's not the emphasis anymore.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have the continuation of this verse-by-verse lesson from 1 Timothy.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Here's what people are saying about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division.
I never really realized the extent of religious bondage that I was in until I heard and believed the truth of God's Word rightly divided.
Right Division is about separating Scripture so you know what God's doing today.
Rightly dividing the Bible helps you understand what in the Bible is for your participation so that you won't be confused as many things in Scripture seem to be apparent contradictions.
The motivation for living for Christ comes from an understanding of the truth of God's Word rightly divided, not from external pressures of a religious system.
It helped me be able to understand my Bible that I can understand without somebody telling me.
The ability to clearly understand God's Word and His will has improved my life in immeasurable ways.
I would say that I have understanding of issues regarding the Bible that I never had before.
Learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division at graceambassadorsradio.com.
So what changed? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, Paul says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We know in Deuteronomy 6 that when they did the law, it would be for Israel's righteousness. In Romans 10, 4, as Paul is here talking about Israel and how they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, he says in verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So, in Paul's writings here, we learn that what was once required of Israel, the law for righteousness is over. Okay? We'll learn tonight that the law was never intended to make anybody righteous before God. The law was never intended to save anybody. The law was never intended to encourage anyone to do good. So people have this false idea. Again, this is falls into Paul's teaching. They don't understand what they're affirming, what they're saying. Because people think, well, if I post the law, this will encourage right behavior. Do you think that's what the law does? Any law. Do you think what the law does? You put a law up and encourages people to do good? Oh, now it's on the wall. I think I'll do it. Nobody thinks this way. And the Bible tells us this wisdom. People will do or not do whatever they want. You put a law up there, it's either going to make them angry or going to say, who cares? They do that anyway. Right? It doesn't change people at all. So the law never encourages people to do right. It just tells you what's right. It commands and demands you do right or don't do this or do that. And Paul knows that. We know that by the dispensation of the grace of God. And so this is why this is such an important thing. When there's teachers in the church that are up there teaching the law and don't understand what they're doing, Paul says, get those guys out of there. Right? And you who don't teach have a responsibility as well, because you can say, I know right doctrine, that's not it. You know? Or after the guy's done teaching, you say, did you mean to say that? Because that sounded very legal, you know, like a law there. Right, and you can hold teachers accountable. You can bring things up and demand from the assembly, from the church. You can help the structure operate that way. So this is how each member of the body can benefit each other. But in 1 Timothy 1, verse 6, Paul says, there are those who have turned aside from him, from grace doctrine, from a charity, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from faith unfeigned, unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor if they affirm. Now, the question when I was reading this that came into my mind was, why would you desire to teach the law? I mean, you have the gospel of God, the grace of God. You understand the mystery of Christ. So why don't you just teach that? Why don't you just try to learn what God has for us to do today? Why would you say, you know what? I want to be a law teacher. In fact, I don't know if that even enters your mind. You know, we're at a Grace church here. It never enters your mind perhaps to say, you know what? I want to be a law teacher at Grace Ambassadors. Why would you even desire this, right? And hopefully you've been guarded against that, but is this something that doesn't exist anymore? I mean, are there really Christians out there teaching the law and that they say they desire to do so? You know, and this is a hard thing, okay? Why would they do that? Well, I put a few reasons why down here, and they're actually pretty good reasons. And so maybe you'll reconsider whether you want to teach the law or not. For the goodies, number one, you know all the good things the law promises? You can receive good things. I mean, there were the curses, but Christ was made a curse for you, right? So the curses are dealt with by the Lord, but it has lots of blessings. So imagine if you could ask what you will and God would give. Or imagine Psalm chapter 37, where he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, imagine 2 Chronicles 7, if you would just humble yourself and pray, God would heal your land. And this is what we need in this country, right? So don't we need the blessings of the law, right? Well, that would be a reason why people would desire to teach it. That's why pastors, teachers, even today, go back to the law and take the verses out of context and use it. And they don't know what they're doing. They don't know that they're undercutting your position in Christ, that they're robbing you of the riches of God's grace, that they're destroying your spiritual life because they're trying to get the blessing. But because they put you back under the law, they're destroying grace doctrine. Okay? Boasting, another reason. You say, nobody likes to boast. We're all good, humble Christians. We don't like to boast here, right? Yeah, right. Don't you want to be the best? Don't you want to be good? Don't you want to show that you're better than someone else? Isn't this one reason why people like grace doctrine? And it's not a right reason. But when you start learning how to rightly divide, you start knowing things other people don't know. And that's a boast. And sometimes people treat it that way. And you're talking to people and you act like I know more than you do and you're just below me. And people get puffed up by knowledge, right? So why would you want to teach the law? Well, the more I tell you about the 613 points of law, I can boast in that. I can boast that I keep it, right? I can boast that I do it. Paul says there is no more boasting, no room for boasting under grace, right? What about for gain? 1 Timothy 6, Paul's going to talk about those who think that gain is godliness, and this is prevalent, folks. People who teach the law for gain. Nobody does that, right? Tithing anybody? I mean, how do you get people to give money? Right? This is the question every church asks. How do you get people to give money? Because we need money to do ministry and to survive and whatever else. And inevitably, 99.99% of the time, the church says, well, The Bible has a provision for this.
Tithing.
But where is that provision? Under the law. And they're desiring to do it. Oh, we teach grace, salvation by grace through faith. But you teach tithing. You got to get money somehow. That's contradictory, isn't it? So people actually desire to teach the law in this case in order to get gain. Paul says those who think that gain is godliness, avoid them. Right? They're contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Which is why one of the reasons I gave to someone who asked me, what should I look for in a church? I said, one of the three things you should look for is whether they tithe or not, whether they teach tithing. Because if the church teaches tithing, not people, you know, but the church, if the leaders say, we tithe at our church, you're going to, red flag, big red flag, because they are willing to teach the law to you in order to get gain from you, right? It's one thing if they're teaching the commandment to honor your father and mother every week, you know. Another thing, if they're teaching tithing, why that one? Everybody knows why that one, because that gets money out of your wallet, right? The law is very good for claiming your rights. You know, in our country, we have this kind of idea where we have the Bill of Rights attached to the end of our Constitution. So if your right has been infringed upon, how do you rectify the situation? Only by the law. You need the law. You need the Constitution, the letter of the Bill of Rights to say the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech. And everybody knows how to quote the First Amendment, right? Because if you change the words, it matters. And recently, they're debating about the freedom of religion or the freedom to worship, you know, and what that means, the difference in the meaning, and it's significant, right? The words matter. The letter of the law matters, right? Imagine that. And it's to claim your right, to claim what is right, right? Well, you need the law to do that. So why would anyone desire to teach the law? Well, that's a pretty good reason right there. I know there's teachers in America, you know, law teachers, who are doing it for the right reason. I mean, they're trying to teach freedom and claiming your rights, and they're doing it using the law. And you're going, yeah, I totally agree with the First Amendment, right? You're putting the church under the law, though. you see how it's contradictory? And so, you know, there are some good reasons people desire to do this. For power, this is a huge one, to have control. You cannot control people teaching grace doctrine. I know. I try to teach grace doctrine. You cannot control people. You cannot make them do things. You can't change their mind. But inevitably, when you're trying to lead, ask any general of the army. What is the easiest way to get people to follow you if you're the general? You got rules. Listen, buddy, if you don't march in line, you're out, right? There's rules. And it works in the army. It doesn't work in church. Now, when I say it doesn't work, I don't mean it won't if I try to implement it. Have you heard of the Salvation Army? They did that. they used military rules in the organization because we're the Lord's army. You know, thank you. But that's not the way the Grace Church is supposed to operate, right? On the grace principle, if we're supposed to preach the message of grace, why do we operate like we're under the law? It doesn't work. But that's a good reason to teach the law, wouldn't it? Get people in order. And what's 1 Timothy about? Order in the assembly. How to behave in the house of God. That's what 1 Timothy is about. And so the tendency, when people ask, how do we get people in ship shape in the house of God? Oh, the law did that really well. And Paul says, first thing, tell them not to do that. Don't teach the law. You got to teach grace. Okay, it may be harder. It may hurt some people. They may leave, but you got to teach grace. Okay, grace is what we're about. Grace is the foundation. It's about Christ, not about the law. Okay? The law, it communicates judgment. The law tells you what's right and wrong, and you can judge people by the law. And so by using the law, you can judge their behavior, right? So people want to teach it. To control people, to obligate people, to force people to do things that otherwise they wouldn't do, to dictate to other people what they should do and need to do and manipulate them to do it, the law is very useful, right? Will it change their hearts? No. The law isn't designed to change people's hearts. It's designed to force people to do things, right? And so you get to a point in ministry where you're going, you know what? It's hard work changing people's hearts. I don't care about your hearts. I just want you to do something. So I'm going to teach you a law, right? God said, love your neighbor. Everybody stand up. Shake your neighbor's hand. Anybody heard that in church? Anybody not want to do that sometimes when they say that in church? How you doing, Joe? You know. I mean... I know that this is an example in trying to encourage love for one another, but if you loved one another, wouldn't you do it without the pastor commanding you to do it? I'm the official greeter this week. Good morning. Welcome to church. I've been assigned this task, right? Well, if you wanted to greet people, why wouldn't you greet them? You see, it doesn't change their heart. And so there's a way that churches operate through the law, and it's desirous. It's easier to administrate when you got people that get paid, right? And you pay them. It's easier to tell them what to do, right? How do you pay them? Well, there's a law. You do this, I'll pay you. And so what happens in churches? We give them paid positions. So churches get bigger. So you have to be bigger to get the money to pay the people. But they have staff, so like 10 pastors and 50 staff people, and they're all paid. And don't you think that they're getting a paycheck has no effect on what they do? Oh, it does. You know, well, why do you show up every Sunday? Well, I love the Lord, and they pay me. I mean, it's my job. I am the youth pastor, right? Well, what if they didn't pay you? Maybe I'd find another church that paid me. You know, people's wills are so, you know, attached to some of these things sometimes. So this is what the law teaches. What about how do you deal with sin? This is one of the issues of 1 Timothy 3 and 4, is how do you deal with sin in the assembly, sin in people? A lot of people think that the answer to how to deal with sin is the law. Judge it, condemn it, kick them out, make them do something different. That doesn't solve the problem. Okay, the right answer of dealing with sin is grace doctrine. First, you have to understand what grace is, and then you have to know how to apply it, and it needs to be exemplified by the leaders in the church.
That's all the time we have this week for our in-depth, verse-by-verse look at 1 Timothy. Tune in next week for the continuation of the series.
Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio. You can listen to this entire episode and previous broadcasts of Grace Ambassadors Radio by visiting our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. Justin Johnson is the pastor of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, located just 2 miles south of Swayze, Indiana, where he teaches the Bible rightly divided every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and every Tuesday evening at 7. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.